Welcome back to the Rhonda Swan Show. Well, today I am so excited because I am here live in Bali and I have my guest right here in the studio. In fact, we have a multi-talented international star, Katrina Siren. She is a Wonder Woman with two US Billboard chart hits, a string of Music Week dance hits, movie roles, an author, director, and lyricist. Katrina Siren doesn't stop there though. She's also an activist in women's rights. And her very own play, Breaking the Silence, is nominated Best Play at the London Summit organized by Angelina and William Hague, whilst her self-penned track, Intimacy, became the anthem for International Women's Day by the United Nations UK. You know how much I love that. Now, Katrina had a leading role in the movie Alida, based on Henrik Ibsen's famous play, The Lady from the Sea. Was releasing a string of records at the same time. She released So In Love With You this summer, a collaboration with Grammy producer Stonebridge, and is acting in the UK thriller film Hounded. So please help me welcome Katrina Siren to the show. You're like in the physical.
I know, it's so wonderful. And to be in Bali.
Oh, oh my goodness. I'm so amazing. Happy that you're here. So it's so crazy because you and I met on Instagram.
Yes.
And come to find out, you were coming to Bali and you didn't even know I lived here.
No, I thought you lived in New York.
This is so good. I am so happy to have you here. And I just want to learn more about you. Like, I'm so enamored by this, you know, this magic Wonder Woman that you have here. You know, how did you get started in film? I mean, my goodness, producing, film, songs, lyricists. Like, how did you do all this stuff?
I think it's a thing in me that if I don't express myself, I feel sad. So I think from a very young age, actually from the age of 5, I wanted to become an actress. So I wanted, yes.
You remember?
A performer. Yeah. And my parents were like, oh, okay, whatever. And then I'm Norwegian. So I tried at the Norwegian Theatre School, which only takes in 6 people every year.
Wow.
So anyway, I did not get in there. So I tried in London and I managed to get into 5 drama schools. So I went to RADA and then I went to Guildhall School of Music and Drama. And I had an amazing education because there, you know, you have the best teachers in the whole world coming, you know. So I was very lucky. And then I got a lead part in the West End straight after drama school. So wow. That was super lucky start.
So you went from London directly to New York?
No. So I stayed in London.
Oh, you stayed in London.
Yes,
okay.
I stayed in London.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me about that moment being just coming out of drama school.
Yeah.
Like you have your dream and you get picked up to stay in West End. And
yeah, no, that was
that
like,
became like your career.
Yeah, and that was kind of interesting as well because the company who employed me is like a feminist company. So they only put on plays where a woman is playing a lead because most plays is men again.
Right.
So that was kind of, I feel, also showing me my path in life of supporting women and being, you know, quite an activist for women or through all the things that I do. And also raising awareness. I think that's super important through art.
Well, yeah, so let's talk about that, right? Because you're right, like there's so much we're in, and I'm not a feminist, so I'm not, right?
I
me
have
too.
3 boys.
But I, you know, it's true. Like I was in corporate and it was very, very male driven and I just had to work my way through. So what were some challenges that even you may have came across being in that space, especially how long ago was that when you first were in West End?
So that is now, that must be 20 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so not too long ago, but long enough to then start having to kind of navigate through that coming out of film school. How was that journey for you and how did you like find yourself really being able to break through it?
Yes.
You know?
I think that was lucky in a way, you know, to get, I mean, lucky. I mean, there was like 300 actresses trying to get the part and I had 5 recalls. So of course I was lucky that she thought of me to be the correct part.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, again, you know, in castings it's very like a fifth element. He wanted to see me, Luc Besson, and it was just Mila Jovovich and myself. And and again, it's, you know, she ended up marrying him. You see what I mean?
You're like, how am I going to compete with this one?
So it is hard, I think, yeah. in general. And I think, of course, with the Me Too campaigns and all this, it helped.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, they're still hard for any woman or young woman to break through, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And you were there for how many years, you said?
No, so I worked then in the West End or around different place mm-hmm. for 6 years.
Okay.
And then I started a family. So I have 4 children. And then instead of just, you know, waiting for the agent to go for auditions and things, I started producing myself, directing, and get up my bum and yeah, create my work as well.
I mean, that's a huge message for women, young girls. Mm. I know you have 2 twin sons. Do you also have any daughters?
Yes, I have 1 daughter okay. and 3 boys.
Okay, so you have 1 yep. daughter and 3 boys.
Yes.
I mean, I can imagine, you know, that, like, at least for me, my daughter Hanalei is 15, and you know, everything I did was like, I want to be the best example, right,
yeah.
for them. And I think that often, you know, moms just take care of the kids. And so here you've got twins, and you've got this big old family, and now you're producing and doing your own thing.
Yes.
What happened during that time? I think those are like nice strings of events. And you've got a bunch of kids, but you know, that you're raising, but you're still doing this work. How did you manage the two?
I think because I have a very supportive husband, you know, he's super supportive.
Yay for our supportive husband.
And I think if I didn't have that, I think it'd be very difficult.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. But I think also I pushed myself, because being an actress, you know that you get stage fright. So if I didn't go on stage and do things and perform in front of an audience, I would then never go back. You know, that fear of not daring to go back again. So I pushed myself as well to do it. So it was something I needed to do, but also I pushed myself. And then it was amazing because I was singing in different groups, you know, like rock groups or...
During, like in the night, you're like moonlighting.
Jazz groups or whatever. And, and suddenly I had this... Paul Sutton, he's working with Phil Collins and Jackson Brothers and stuff. He heard my music because I started writing my own music. And then he introduced me to different producer who works with Kylie Minogue and stuff. And that's how my pop career kind of, or dance pop music and also jazzy, because I'm coming out with a new album called Inappropriate Now.
Okay, let's talk about that one. Because we had a quick chat about it.
Yeah.
I love that edge. Share that story, because it's really fitting even to consider like the work that you do in women activism. And, you know, I work with women. But how brutal can we be, even mothers? So tell about why the name is...
That is actually funny. Yeah. No, because I have 1 music video where I have 3 male dancers dancing around me. You know, there's always women dancing around.
I mean, Madonna did it for a long time.
Exactly. So I had these amazing dancers, you know, half naked dancing around. And I look amazing because you put me in this red, beautiful...
Silk.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Divine.
So, of course... Some of the moms had seen this video and told my boys that, you know, their mom, she is super inappropriate. So I thought, okay,
you're
my
like,
next
thank
album
you.
Is called Inappropriate.
How long ago was that, though?
So that is like 3-4 years ago, yeah.
Like, isn't that seem so silly?
Yeah, I know.
But if we got to talk about it, though, because it's actually a real thing. Even at our ages with, you know, teens and kids, why do you think women are so hard on each other?
I think it's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, when you start from a very young age, it's that sisterhood, but kind of, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you don't be better than me kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame, because I think if we stood together, more like the men, I feel they are more kind of, you know, if they get annoyed, they can give each other a proper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
But they never kind of talk around. Women can be quite nasty in the sense of talking behind each other's backs. And
yeah.
So I think we need a bit more that kind of male attitude of, come on, let's stand together and support each other. Because, you know, we are wonderful. Women are wonderful.
Well, we're the life creators, you know, and this is something that I always try to come across. Like, it isn't that, you know, pushing aside. I think maybe you can address this, is do you think that society has put women in that competitive space, or do you think it's our nature?
It's a lot to do also with looks, isn't it? Mm. You know, when you think about social media, it's tough also for the young girls, you know, they all have to kind of look, you know, amazing. And I don't know, it is a lot of pressure, I think.
Yeah.
From society too, for sure.
It is.
Which doesn't help.
It doesn't. I mean, no. I remember me growing up and I was a tomboy and I was an athlete.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was always, you know, told to, you know, put a dress on and these things. I'm like, why are you even doing that? So I was always really competitive as the nature of what I was, an athlete. However, because I was such good friends with all the boys, the girls were really mad at me. And I'm like, what's your problem? Like, why can't you just be cool enough to just hang out with the guys? Just because, yeah. Right? And at a young age, I started to realize like how catty girls can be.
Yeah.
And I was like, why does it have to be that way?
Yeah, it's a shame.
You know, why?
Yeah, because I think we'd be more powerful if we stood together.
Absolutely.
I think so. Yeah. And also, of course, we need the men to stand with us.
Yes.
Like, in any case.
More than ever. And, you know, and now there's so much conversation about these different gender roles. Yeah. Like, there's a lot coming out. And I think awareness is everything. And when we're able to talk about things, I think it's a big step above, so that we can actually say, okay, you know, you get to speak your voice. Because if we're really truly saying you deserve to speak your voice, then we should allow others to speak their voice.
Oh,
as well,
everyone.
Right?
Yeah.
And so with your work with women activism, like, what are some of the things that you do? And are they, you know, what type of girls are you working with? What type of women are you working with?
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, as you mentioned, Breaking the Silence, that was for Human Rights Watch.
Yes.
And that was something I'm very proud of because we brought, well, I wrote it with another lady. And we were sitting down and we kind of got all these amazing things from Human Rights Watch, you know, like proper statement, true stories.
Yeah.
And we could then write monologues out of all the different issues, you know, like abuse or, you know, we brought up all different examples of what women go through around the world still.
Yeah.
And that was very powerful. That was, I'm very happy to have done that.
And to be able to create the space for women. You know, what is your opinion on what's happening right now in Iran?
Yeah, no, it's but I'm so happy to see that men are also supporting.
Oh, absolutely. More than ever. You know, and I don't usually talk, you know, go overly political. However, I'm such a believer of support and allowing someone to speak their voice and not being suppressed, you know? And it's magical to me to see the world kind of coming together. And I feel like there's times when this crazy stuff shakes up and all of a sudden it forces everyone to support each other.
Yeah.
Right?
This is good.
It's like all of a sudden the world is supporting other women that they've never even been, you know, and maybe in contact with. So tell me a bit about this film that you just got picked up.
Elida, yes.
Yes. Tell me about
that
Elida.
That has been a dream of mine for the last 10 years. So it's like a movie that I just had to do. And now it's there and it's been taken to festivals. Or, you know, we put it out for festivals. And already been chosen to 15 festivals. So I'm very proud. And I actually had a review today saying, you know, it's beautifully portraying Henrik Ibsen's work. You know, it's traumatizing, but still bringing a lovely message. And the lead is Elida. So how it all came along was because I started writing monologues out of The Doll's House, Hedda Gabler, and The Lady from the Sea. And then putting it on, and then suddenly feeling, you know, Elida and The Lady from the Sea, yes, it's been a success, but not as much as The Doll's House and other of his beautiful plays. So I thought, it's very cinematic. Mm. And there's a place called Kragerø in Norway. It's like the Pearl of Norway. Mm. And it's where Munch painted The Sun. You know, his masterpiece, The Sun, he painted it there. So it's absolutely, the scenery is stunning.
Wow.
And the whole team, you know, and I got the music from this eight Grammys. Mark, he's amazing. So Mark Thomas, he's composed all the music through the whole movie. So it is really, it's something I'm very proud of. And especially seeing now the festivals are picking it up. So in LA, so I'm going to New York.
Oh!
I'm going different places.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you are also an actress in this movie, though.
Yes.
So I'm, how do we write, produce, and act in our own movie?
Yeah, like, no, I didn't write the script, actually.
Okay.
I tried.
You produced it, right. Yeah.
I tried.
You're like, excuse me, I'm going to rewrite this.
but I, no, so I didn't do that. Actually, that was my cousin, Birgit Syran, who did the writing.
Oh, wow.
And because she already was awarded in LA for Amazing. Her script writing. Yeah, no. You all can't right, do so, it
but
all.
You did, yeah. That would like we are Super and Wonder Woman, but
yeah.
There's certain things that need to take a stand.
Yeah.
And so you, but you acted in the movie as well.
Yeah, and I already won three Best Actress awards.
What do you want to see happen for this film, Lita? Like, where do you want it to go? What is the bigger vision of this?
I mean, honestly, to me, it's like Lita. She portrays very much women, and you know, she goes through you know, after, which some women do after giving birth, natal depression. Mm-hmm. She goes through this period of being a middle age where you longing for passion, and you know what I mean, and that kind of in love feeling again. Mm-hmm. And so she goes, I feel she portrays really a woman's life, or many women's lives. Mm-hmm. So I do hope it's going to reach a lot, and people find comfort in seeing it. And I think Ibsen is amazing, you know. He was in the 18th century. Oh. He was such a feminist. I don't really like that word either.
I don't. Yeah, it feels so bra burning. I'm like, I'm not bra burning my bra. Yeah, like, I don't want to do that. We stand up for our what we believe in. Yeah. I think that's really what it is.
They should have another word for it, shouldn't they?
Yeah, maybe we need to create one.
I think so. It would be good. Should have a thing.
Yeah, that's our project.
Yeah.
Is there a bigger stage or a bigger place that you want to see this film? You know, go to, do you have this, like, what's that bigger dream that you could ever even imagine?
I think it's
big
to screens,
reach.
It's to reach.
It's the reach.
Again, yes. Because everything I do is kind of to raise awareness. Mm-hmm. And have a, when you think about theater, it's all started with political theater, yeah. Didn't it? So yeah. I feel if I can contribute in getting people to think or feel or, I think then I'm kind of doing my work.
Yeah, because I think that is probably what we're gapping in right now, isn't it? Mm. Is society feeling.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, with the shutdown that we had around the world.
Yeah, that was hard.
It was hard on so many. We got closer, many did, mm-hmm. but maybe not in the right way either. Mm. You know, and it's like our family got closer because, you know, of course we live on Bali. It's kind of lovely to be here. Yet there's so much broken families, relationships.
Yeah.
And connection, it's like we're all a little off, mm-hmm. you know? And so, you know, talk me through like the process of when you're creating a film.
Yeah, and the nature, that is actually wonderful with this movie because it's so, I mean, south of Norway, it's so kind of special, the nature. Mm. So it's and the fjords and you know, it is really beautiful. And I think that has been something that people kind of now after the COVID period is appreciating nature.
So much more.
And that kind of peacefulness. Mm. And yeah, and I think that's been positive about it.
Yeah, I mean, here we felt like we were watching a movie around the world. Like we literally were in Bali, we're like, is that really happening?
Amazing.
I think Norway was similar though, wasn't it?
They were quite strict. They were more cool about it.
Yeah.
But Norway was quite strict as well, to be honest.
Do you think it affected your kids?
I feel actually sorry for the younger generation with everything they kind of now have to go through, because they're going to be more worried. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to be feeling a bit more. I feel when we didn't have that many worries. Okay, we had.
No.
Maybe a little bit of AIDS and things like this, but it wasn't really.
I mean, I grew up
level.
It was like I only came in when the streetlights got dark. Right? Yeah. I'm from Michigan, and we were going. My mom, there's no phones. Like my mom didn't know where I was all day.
Yeah,
you know. But now it's like even here, Bali's the safest place. You know, safest country we've ever been to.
People are beautiful here.
Aren't they gorgeous?
Everyone has these beautiful eyes. You know, they're so kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And very true.
Yes. No, it's a very special place. Yeah. I haven't been here long now.
We caught you in the first 24 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is next for you? Like, what is next?
So
now?
I'm actually talking about, you know, I'm building up something called Hydrasound, which is going to be an app to help, because going into the music industry and seeing how it's functioning, I feel it is very tough because there's a lot of middlemen who would just suck. So with Hydrasound, it's going to be an app that actually they can go onto and they can control their own careers. And I think that'd be amazing. So that I'm very, very excited about.
Tell me more about that, because that's pretty incredible. So if you're an artist, you can what, either book yourself or connect to different
and you can
agents or...
Yes, so you will have things available for you. So you know, for example, now with the it's complicated with PPL, PRS, all these kind of things.
Yeah.
On that app, it's going to be so easy. You know, they can just connect all their music onto it. They know where they're being played. They know, you know, they know when they have been performing live.
Ah,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? So it's everything in one app. So they really can control their career and not have all these different
having
men,
a different
to take advantage.
Finger in the pot, right?
Exactly.
And that's what happens a lot, right? New stars, new, you know, entertainers, like they don't necessarily know.
No.
Do you find yourself being a, I guess, a mentor or confidant to a lot of entertainers?
I would love. And then through this app, I feel that I really...
You can have that.
Do something, something beneficial. So, so that I'm very excited about. And then, of course, I had another that I actually did start writing myself, which is an idea about, it's called Verbia Stories.
Ooh.
And it's based upon kind of real stories happening up in the Alps.
Mm.
And that's also quite fascinating.
Wow, what
so
is,
that's
can
like
you
a
give
TV,
us a little
TV,
bit?
TV show.
It's a TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, so like Housewives of Verbier or like... But a bit more, seems like maybe a bit more drama and...
Yeah,
right?
quite a lot of drama. So that I'm also working on. So that's also, so I have quite a few projects going. So no, I think honestly, if you are a person who wants to create stuff, I don't think you can stop.
No, it just keeps going. Yeah. That's what everyone
like
always
yourself.
Says.
Like,
why are you do this? Why did you do this magazine? I'm like, I don't know, I don't have time, but we got 3 months, we can make a magazine. Why not? You know, because that's the thing. It's like, that creative process just feels...
Yeah.
Feels you.
And that's also during the COVID time, because then suddenly I have an office, but I've never been in it. And during the COVID time, I sat down and I finished off because I wanted to, because I love animals like yourself with dogs. I have three dogs. I have a pussycat and I have a parrot. And our parrot, he left us for 6 months and came back. So I had to write the story about my parrot.
What?
So I have actually published my children's book with these beautiful illustrators.
What is the name of your parrot?
Martina Selva.
It's got to be named. Is the book named your name of your parrot?
Yeah. Rocky's Adventure.
Rockets?
Rocky.
Rocky's Adventures.
Adventure.
Oh my goodness. Does he talk?
Yeah, he says a few Norwegian things. He says, Kosegutt. Kosegutt, which means cuddly boy. And then he says,
awesome.
Hi, which is like hello in Norwegian. And then he dances with me. You know, he goes, hey, Rocky, hey, Rocky, hey, Rocky, and then he does.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no, he's very
Rocky
sweet.
Sounds like he needs an Instagram channel.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I need to do that. Actually, I need to do that.
You should need to bring him on your Instagram and, like, have a little Rocky show.
Yeah,
no,
I should.
I just love speaking with you. I love your energy, everything that you're about.
Yeah, likewise.
I can't wait to see Alita, to, you know, like, watch the rest of the music video of Inappropriate. You look so super sexy in that, by the way.
Amazing musicians.
Musicians.
So I have Leon Paul, the saxophonist. I have Arwan Valassi, he does the guitar. And I have Axel, the drummer. And Gauthier too. Yeah, he's an amazing pianist composer. No, so I'm very lucky.
Teamwork makes
no,
the
you
dream
need,
work.
Oh, you do.
Right?
Yeah, no. If you can't do things by yourself, you need people.
It's the truth. Mm. You know, everyone's like, how do you do all these things? Like, without my team, nothing is possible, right? Like, you can only lead from the charge by yourself for so long.
Yeah. No, it's so true.
Yeah.
So true.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We want to make sure everyone will give them all the places to find you and how to listen to your music, how to watch your movies and your films and all the fun stuff that you're doing.
Thanks.
I'm so happy to have you here on Bali.
Thank you.
Make sure you go and follow Katrina Siren. Wow, this woman is amazing. And just think about right now, what could you do to follow that bliss where you have so much energy inside of your body that you just keep creating. That's the magic. That's the zone that we want to be in. And that's where we are today. So you get to choose today. What do you want to do with your greatest, most magical life? I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. We'll see you on the next one. Don't forget to be unstoppable and stay wild.